If you have a question for our gadget detective, you can get in touch today. Free tech advice with Fevzy, the number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Afternoon, Fevzy.
Hello.
We have this question in already from Matthew. He says, my Skype has disappeared for some reason from my desktop on my computer, and I just wondered how to reinstall it without having to pay. He says, I get very worried about installing things now because of that problem. And the other question is, how can I disable Adobe Flash Player when it's stopping me from playing games? And why is it on my computer? There's okay. A lot there.
Okay, so I'll just make a note of that. All right, so Matthew, Skype, it may have disappeared from your desktop in that the icon may have just got accidentally deleted, but it may still be installed. So you can search, I'm assuming you're using a Windows system. If you click in the bottom left-hand corner and just go to All Programs, you'll soon see whether or not it's still installed. And if it is installed, you can actually activate it from there, and indeed right-click and put an icon back onto the desktop if you want to. If, however, it has become uninstalled, Skype software is free from Microsoft, so you can actually download it directly from Microsoft.com, and you won't have to pay for it. The only things that you have to pay for with Skype are if you want to subscribe to some of the additional functionality. So with Skype, you can do audio or video calls from Skype user to Skype user anywhere in the world free of charge. But if, for example, you wanted to use Skype to make telephone calls to landlines, to conventional telephones, or indeed mobile phones, then you can do that. And there are various subscriptions for UK, Europe, or worldwide. So those are annual subscriptions, but the actual software itself is free to download. And it's probably not a bad idea to do that, because you'll make sure so that you have the latest version of the software, which is a good thing. The other thing was
Adobe Flash Player.
Right, so Adobe Flash is a product from a company called Adobe. It's a piece of software that is used to provide a lot of the graphical content that you see on websites. So some websites are built either entirely using Flash technology, or a particular video or a particular game requires Flash. Apple a few years ago decided they didn't like Flash. They thought it was a security hazard, and they are right. You know, it is a point of weakness for a computer, because it's got its own script programming language, so it can be used to you know, weaknesses in Flash can be used to get hold of your computer. So there have been moves to slowly replace Flash with something called HTML5, which is just another way of achieving that sort of graphical richness that we see in modern websites. So the situation is this: Flash is, again, it's free to download. You can download it from the Adobe site, but and some websites require it, and therefore if you want to see those websites, you pretty much need to install Flash. But what you can do, and what browsers such as Firefox do, is they enable you to allow Flash to work on a site-by-site basis. So every time it comes to a site that uses Flash, it says, this site uses Flash. Do you want to enable Flash for this website? And therefore, when you go to a trusted website that you know you don't think is going to be a source of incursion into your computer, then you may enable it in specific cases, but in the generality you can disallow it. And as I say, Firefox for one will do that for you.
I hope that helps, Matthew. If you've got a question for Fevzy, you can call 03459 570057. It's interesting you say there, though, that actually it's worthwhile sort of downloading new programs to make sure you've got the most up-to-date one. See, that is where I fall down. Well, I don't think I'm the only one. It's just that constant kind of updating of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'll go on and then it'll say, oh, your browser needs to be updated and this needs to be upgraded. And I mean, as a kind of general guide, how much time and how often should you be spending time just making sure that you are up to date and where you should be with your tech?
It's difficult, because it depends upon the rate at which, you know, these updates come. However, the important thing is, for the key components of your computer software, i.e. the operating system and you know the key programs that you run, you should really set those to allow it to update for you.
Okay,
and obviously, so there is a slight risk in this, obviously, because you have to trust the provider of those updates that they're not going to feed you malware. And sometimes, you know, being one of the first to download a new version could mean that you get a buggy version, you know, that's then fixed a few days later. But taken in the round, it's probably better to allow software to auto-update as long as it's trusted software. And if it's not trusted software, then it begs the question, why are you running
it on
your...
Why have you got it anyway?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So, you know, if it's Microsoft or, you know, another trusted source, then allow them to do it. Because although there is a small risk of, you know, the new version not being completely bug-free, I think that's outweighed by the risk that we will forget to upgrade it in good time and that our machines will be vulnerable to attack. And that sort of balance has changed quite a lot recently where you know, vulnerabilities are seized upon by miscreants very quickly. And therefore, you know, if you're saying, oh, I'll update it weekly even, you may be unlucky and be vulnerable during that week and someone may attack your machine successfully because of that. Most hacks into individuals' computers, most of them are because of out-of-date software, the vulnerabilities that exist in our software that we haven't patched or we haven't updated the patch versions of. The second most common source is where we're tricked into providing information, and that can be done either on the computer or not. And obviously we have to be careful about who we're speaking to is who they say they are, and, you know, not providing them with information that sounds in any way suspicious, you know. So I think, you know, as I say, just allow the operating system, allow Microsoft, allow your antivirus program certainly to do the updates automatically, and it should just tell you it's done it. But you see, normally you get some options. You'll say it'll give you either manual update or download the update but don't install it, or download and install. I would go for the download and install.
Just at least you know it's done.
Yeah, and do have a look at what you've got on there and think, you know, do I need this software? I may have downloaded a free game or something, you know, a couple of years ago. I don't use it. Uninstall it, because it's taking up resources, taking up space, and it could be a point of weakness.
Have a clear out. Stuart calls from Burgess Hill. So you've got a problem when you're trying to FaceTime someone in Australia. Is that right, Stuart?
That's correct, yes.
Hello, Stuart.
Hello there. Yes, we tried FaceTime. They can hear us, but they can't... we can hear them, sorry, but they can't hear us.
They can't hear you.
No.
But your picture is going to them, is it? Or is
yes,
it just...
everything's fine, yes.
That's
problem
strange.
With the mic?
So FaceTime, for those, probably just worth taking one step back. FaceTime is an Apple product. It's if you like, it's Apple's equivalent of Skype, but it only works between Apple users of Apple equipment, be it iPhones, iPads, Macs, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Do they have a similar problem with anyone else FaceTiming with
them? As far as I know. We seem to be the only problems having, you know, people having the problem with them.
I think the only thing I would suggest is, again, to make sure that both of you are running the latest versions of the iOS operating system.
Yes, I did look online. It said it had to be 6 or higher.
Yeah.
We're running on 9 at the moment, so
okay, but
we should be okay.
Just need to make sure you're running the latest Apple software. I think that's one that I'd kick back to Apple support, Apple Care, because it's there's no good reason for it, and it does it. So the test would be this: does when you are FaceTiming others, do they hear your audio? And when your other party is FaceTiming others, do they hear audio? Yeah.
Okay, I'll check that.
So does the other party hear your audio? Another third party, and your people in Australia, can they hear audio? If that's the case, then we can rule out anything like hardware problems, and we're down to some sort of compatibility issue that is something that you need to flag with Apple.
Yes. Well, my daughter, we FaceTimed her on her Apple iPad, and she couldn't hear us either. So that is two.
Okay.
That is two of them, yes.
Are you sure that you're... Okay, so sometimes the microphone on an iOS device, so that's an iPad or an iPhone, is sometimes grabbed by another app running in the background.
Oh, I
see. So the Apple operating system, iOS, isn't truly multifunctional. It doesn't really run those several programs at the same time in the way that, say, Windows or Mac OS does. So it's possible that one of the programs that you're running in the background has grabbed the mic for its own use, the microphone in your device,
okay.
And is therefore not... so the camera may be free and therefore they're seeing you, but the microphone may be in use by another application.
Okay,
so what I would do is shut down all the apps in the background and make sure that nothing is grabbing your audio stream.
Worth a go.
That's worth a try.
I'm just being nosy, Stuart, but who are you FaceTiming in Australia?
My brother-in-law.
Ah, okay. It's amazing, isn't it, really? You know, people often say, don't they, FaceTime and Skype and what have you has made the world a much smaller place. I'm not a massive fan of it, Fevzi. What about you? I like the phone because people can't see me. That for me, is a real benefit of the phone.
You know what? I was strolling along South Bank yesterday evening and a friend of mine rang from abroad and I said, how are you? And she said, I said, look where I am. And I showed her the river and all the lights. It was beautiful. And it's a nice thing. It's nice to be able to share that. It's not for always. Sometimes audio only is good.
Yeah.
But you know, free is also good. I mean, I'm old enough to remember, you know, when ringing, you know,
Australia with a bank rupture,
or Paris a couple of hundred miles away on a regular basis. Stuart, the other thing, of course, is as a temporary solution, why don't you both install Skype and use that?
Okay.
And that will be another test, because
if
your audio via Skype is no good, then there's always a possibility that the microphone on your device is not working, but that's less likely to be the case. You don't see many failed microphones.
Well, it is 4 years old, so
it's possible. But I mean, have you got any apps that you could test the audio with? I mean, for example, do you use Siri?
No.
You don't use Siri. If you were to download a free audio recorder app, for example, off the App Store, you could just test the microphone that way and just make sure that, you know, the microphone is actually working. But the simplest thing, first of all, is to just kill all those applications running in the background and see if that solves the problem.
Well, I hope you work it out and you can continue chatting with your brother-in-law, Stuart. If you have a question for Fevzi, you can call 03 459 57 0057. We're talking gadgets with the gadget detective Fevzi. If you're having a problem with your tech, then Fevzi can help. Give him a call, the number 03 459 57 0057, or you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. So tell us more then about this gadget of the week you've chosen.
Okay, so it's from a company called One For All, which is probably best known for those remote controls that operate all your gadgets in one go. But they also do a good line of indoor TV aerials and in fact radio aerials as well combined. The reason why I mention this is because aerials are one of those interesting things. They all look much the same, or can look much the same. You can't tell how good they are just by looking. So this is what I consider to be the best of breed. It's one that I use myself, so I thought I would share this. In terms of its appearance, it doesn't look like a conventional aerial. It looks like you know those academic mortarboard hats that students wear.
I'm looking at a picture. Yeah, it's exactly what it looks like.
It looks like the top of one of those. So it's about 10 by 12 inches, and it's only 3/4 inch thick. It's a black slab sort of thing. It looks a bit like a tile or something like that. And indeed, you can mount it to the wall. It's an indoor aerial, or you can just stand it upright or lie it flat. It sort of works, and it's not ugly. It's not like one of those ones with loops of metal and looks like, you know, a Dalek weapon or something like that. It looks quite good. But the important thing, and by the way, the model number, I'll give it to you now, is SV Sierra Victor 9495, which is the top of their range. The benefits are these. First of all, it's a very strong aerial, so it pulls in a weak signal. So you can be up to, say, 15 miles away from the transmitter, and it will still pull in a good signal.
Really?
It will tell you how strong the signal is, because it's got four little LEDs in a line, little lights on it, and they will light up according to the strength of the signal. So if you're sort of on the border, at least you will know that you've got a particularly weak signal there. Because it's modern and high-end, it will also receive 4K or Ultra HD signals. So, you know, not just full HD, but four times that resolution. So, you know, we're seeing versions of Freeview and other terrestrial broadcasts that come in through an aerial that are now 4K compatible. So it will pick those up. It also picks up DAB radio signals as well, which is rather nice. And one more additional thing. It's got a built-in filter. You know, sometimes people suffer interruption to their TV viewing when they're watching Freeview, and it just goes off.
Buffering,
it goes off. Well, no, it just goes off for a moment, and it comes back a couple of seconds later. Picture and sound disappear as if you turned off the TV, and it comes back. Often, that's the result of a 4G signal interfering, so a mobile phone signal. So when the government happily sold off analog TV broadcast frequencies for 4G to bring in lots of money. Some of the frequencies they sold were devilishly close to the Freeview signal frequency, and sometimes 4G bleeds over and then you get this sort of pulse and it interrupts your viewing. So this device has got a 4G filter built into it, which you can buy separate 4G filters or even get them for free, but this one is built into the device. And so this is obviously an external roof-mounted aerial is usually better, and it's a preferable option. But even in homes where you have those, you might have in one bedroom or something where you don't want to wire.
No, I need one of these for the spare room. Yeah,
and they do a very good job. I mean, and it's not cheap. I mean, full price is $64.99. I mean, there are cheaper versions in the range, but I think it's worth paying for, because if you don't have a strong enough signal to start with, it doesn't matter how good your TV is, it's going to struggle.
Yeah.
And as I say, it's also good for DAB broadcasts as well. So
I've
given it 4 out of 5 stars. It's the One for All SV9495.
Susan's given us a call from Worthing. You want some help setting up emails on a new iPad, is that right?
That's right, Alison. I'm a bit of an idiot. I'm just finding my way through it, and there's one or two things that I'm not quite sure about.
Hey, there's no such thing as an idiot on this show. We're all in this together.
I've taken that job, so yeah. No one else can have that. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Febzy. I've set up the iPad, and I mean, as far as emails at the moment, everything that, say I'm ordering something on the iPad through Amazon or Sainsbury's or whatever,
yeah.
It goes through my btinternet.com emails, which come through on my PC.
Yes.
Now, I know you can set up different emails on the iPad.
Yes.
The iCloud seems to be the simplest from my point of view. What I want to know is, if I set up that on the iPad, you probably laugh at me for all my stupidity. If I then wished to shop through Sainsbury's, say, would I still be able to enter the internet.com address and shop through Sainsbury's and it would still work through the PC? Or would the iCloud email kind of override everything?
No, I mean, so iCloud-based email is much like any other email, in that you get an email address and that you can use that when you're doing online shopping or whatever else. The only difference is that you will have to check that email address to see anything that's sent to that address.
Right.
So for example, if you're using the email to register with a new online service, they may send you a sort of a confirmation email to that address. So you can have a number of email addresses and just choose to use them for different things. So you could have a personal one or a work one. You could have one that you use for registering on other people's websites so that it doesn't, you know, any spam goes there and not anywhere else.
Yeah.
So you've got these various options, but an iCloud email address in essence won't work any differently. The benefit will be that you can look at, because those emails are stored in the cloud, on the Apple's iCloud, you should be able to look at those emails from whichever device you're checking from, which is a convenience. There are other ways of achieving the same thing, but you can do the same thing with Outlook.com. You can do it with, you know, AOL email, Yahoo, Google's email, Gmail account, or you can set up your own bespoke one. But in essence, it's no different from any other form of email. You just have to really think about, you know, what email addresses do you want? What do you want to have more than one and use them for different things? Think about that.
Yeah.
As I say, maybe consider having one separate email just for the stuff that may get spammed.
Right.
Because spam filtering on, if you, for example, if you were going to publish an email address or use it to register, I would suggest maybe considering a Gmail account from Google, and they are free. And the reason why I say that is because Gmail probably has one of the best built-in spam filters. So Google will filter your spam for you. They'll enjoy looking through all your emails at the same time, of course, but they'll filter it for you. And I know people who use other email accounts who actually deliberately send their incoming email through the Gmail account and back out again, and just use Gmail as a filter.
Because that's terribly complicated.
Well, yeah, you kind of
I'd suggest they have a lot of time on their hands, those people. But
but do you know what? They save a lot of time, because spam filtering on sort of things like tablets and phones tends to be weak.
Right, so you're protecting yourself.
So instead of spending lots of time deleting spam off each device, Gmail will tend to filter it quite well for you. But, you know, I said to you, Gmail is free. Nothing is really free. You know, there is a saying, if you can't see what the product is, it's probably you.
Right.
and, you know, so you'll send an email via Gmail suggesting that you have a weekend in Paris with a friend, and before you know it, you're receiving adverts for weekends in Paris.
Yeah.
That's not to say that a human being is doing that, but there's some form of artificial intelligence scanning through, looking for keywords and trying to make suggestions. There is a saying that says that Google will know that your daughter is pregnant before you do. I would posit that Google will know who the father is before you do as well.
That's so scary.
So nothing for nothing. If you want to have sort of something a bit more secure, you pay for it. And iCloud is good in that Apple's business model isn't predicated on harvesting your data.
Right.
Apple make great hardware products. They are a little bit weak on their cloud-based solutions, and we've seen some evidence of that in the sense of how they've been hacked, and they present a very big target as well. They're a very attractive target, Apple, in terms of hacking. So
it's looking like a Google email for you, Susan. When you've got it set up, will you drop me a line so we can see that you've got it all set up and that it's working? I'm going to be waiting now until I get that email from Susan in Worthing. Thank you for that. Carol calls from Leatherhead. So you keep getting this error message coming up on your computer, Carol.
I do, yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we've got you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. When we're on it's a Microsoft system, and we constantly get this, I suppose it's about 5x3 in the middle, a box that says script error. And you just can't get rid of it. We shut it down. Do you want to continue running it? And it says yes or no, and we've tried yes, and we've tried no.
There's no correct answer to this.
No. I've gone into settings, and you know where you're in the settings, and it says enable script errors or disable them.
Yeah.
I've tried both systems on that as well.
Okay. So a script is another word for a program that's running. And a script error means that program has encountered a circumstance that it didn't anticipate and is falling over and crying about it, and that's what it's essentially doing. Is it happening primarily when you start up the computer, or does it crop up
after been using it a little while?
Okay. Sometimes there is more information in the message that allows you to identify what process or program is generating the error. Is there anything that would suggest which program it might be?
Sometimes the words look as if they refer to some of the things we're looking at.
So it could be one of the add-ons to your browser. So the browser is the program that you use to look at web pages, but many sophisticated browsers, you know, be they Firefox or Chrome or Explorer, will have the ability to add on bells and whistles that do different functions, and sometimes those are a little bit less solid than the basic browser. I think what we need to do is you need to look at when does it occur, look at the message, and I would try and do a Google search for the exact wording of the message within quotation marks as well, and let's see if it will point to a particular program. Beyond that, what you can do is try and kill off some of the programs that you may suspect in the background, one at a time. How often does the error come up, please?
It's almost every time we use our main PC.
Okay, so what you could do is, for example, when a computer starts up, it will start up the main operating system, the Windows operating system, but it will also start up a number of other things in the background, such as your antivirus and maybe something like CCleaner or something could be in there. You could try either not starting those up one at a time or disabling them one at a time and seeing if disabling any single one of those makes it go away. But probably the more the quicker solution will be to do a Google search of the error message in its entirety in quotation marks, so it's searched for verbatim, not just that,
right.
Not just those words in any order, but those words in that order.
I hope that helps. We're out of time. Thank you to Cal. Very quickly, though, this from Kirsty in Portslade. She says, my child has mistakenly locked their Apple mobile. It's an iPhone 5 by typing in the wrong PIN too often. How do they sort it out?
Speak to Apple Care directly, because if you do it too many times, if you put the wrong one in too many times, it may wipe your contents. So before you get to that point, speak to them, let them take you through security by other means, and let them reset the password for you.
Sally's also got in touch. So on the right side of Facebook, I constantly get sponsored ads announcing that different TV personalities have died, and then when I click on it, it blocks the laptop. How can they be allowed to lie about well-known personalities? Should we discuss that next time you're on?
Yes, let's do it. That's a big topic.
And if people want to follow you on Twitter, they can.
@gadgetdetective. Come and say hello. I have no friends.